The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
11 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Got a quote on Facebook or a reply on Facebook this morning. I just heard you call a guy a jerk for not wanting to hear that lying, adulterous Sanford. Why does that make him a jerk? The jerk is the guy who lies to his wife and kids. If you're going to defend this clown against one of your listeners, then count me out too. Sanford will never again get a vote from me. Sorry, folks, if you're looking for a safe space, maybe you ought to tune into somebody else. Maybe if you're such a precious little snowflake that you can't hear from our representative here in South Carolina, maybe you ought to go, listen to somebody else. Maybe you need a little safe space, a little shelter from the storm, if you will. But I don't remember defending Mark Sanford here this morning. I don't remember. In fact, I remember me criticizing Congressman Sanford. I'm not here to kiss Mark Sanford's butt. I'm not here to kiss the butt of any politician out there. So if you need a safe space, maybe you can go listen to NPR. That might be nice. Put on a CD or something. So, I don't know. Radio is such a weird industry because, you know, people go like, oh, you're on the radio. Well, what do you listen? What do you do? I play country music. I did that for a long time. Play country music. Ah, I can't stand country music. Oh, my God, country music's horrible. Ah, blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, what do you do on the radio? Well, I have a talk show. Oh, my God, I can't listen to talk radio. Ah, blah, 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 blah. I have never once in my life, this is such a weird industry, because I've never once in my life been talking to somebody and said, hey, you know, what do you do? Well, I work for UPS. Oh, my God. UPS. Oh, I just can't. I can't stand them. It's the one thing. And I learned this very on in radio. People feel like that if you're in radio, they can say anything they want to you. They can say anything they want to you. So we're going to have Congressman Sanford on at 8:10 this morning, and this guy calls up, I think his name is Keith. Well, you know, tell me what time to tune out. Oh, well, that's nice. That's perfect. So if you need a little safe space, maybe you can tune into NPR or listen to some classical music or something like that and make yourself a little bit more comfortable. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Tell you what, if you're going to tune out, just don't come back. That'll be fine with me. All right, we'll just open up another slot for a listener here. there was a bomb. There was a home explosion in Monk's Corner on Monday, and it looks like the guy was trying to make a bomb. They're calling it an incendiary device. Yeah, it happened on Monday out at Sheridan Court. About 6:16, officers responded to a home at Sheridan Court to report because of the report of an explosion. So they got there. They found a 33-year-old victim suffering from burn injuries. EMS was on the scene. They treated the victim, who was transported to the Trident Medical Hospital, then over to hospital over in Augusta. Now, preliminary investigation said that the victim was attempting to make some sort of an incendiary device when it ignited and caused his injuries. Now, this is pretty darn unsettling that we had somebody in Monk's Corner trying to make a bomb. Monk's Corner Police Chief Rick Olick said that it was not a meth lab. Dog, I had my money on meth lab. I really did, because when you hear of a home explosion out there, that's usually the first thing that comes to your mind, that somebody was cooking up some meth in their house. But it looks like this guy was making a bomb, allegedly, we have to say, allegedly making a bomb out there in Monk's Corner. But thank goodness nobody else was hurt because of this thing. As we get more information on this thing, we'll certainly pass it along to you. Coming up in just a few minutes, how Hurricane Harvey is going to change this country and exactly what the mainstream media does not want you to see. We'll have that next on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Politico issued a statement saying that there was no acknowledgement from the White House that the First Lady's storm attire was off-key. Off-key. They are so worried about what the First Lady was wearing as she was headed to Texas yesterday. As she walked out of the White House to get on Marine One and take her to Andrews and fly her out to Texas, she and the president. But she was wearing high heels, and the media, they just lost their minds over that thing. They couldn't believe she was wearing high heels yesterday.
Couldn't she change on the plane or the helicopter?
That's exactly what she did. That's exactly what happened, John.
That's a nit to the pick.
It is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the whole reason that that is going on, there's only one reason and one reason only that the media, Politico, would be focusing on something like this, and that is to keep your mind off of what is actually happening in Texas. That is to keep your mind. I think that Hurricane Harvey, with as much devastation and as much tragedy as it brought in, it also brought in something else. It brought in a new wind in this country. What you are going to be seeing, what you're seeing right now, and what you're going to be seeing in Texas over the next weeks and months and maybe even years, is the true American spirit that goes on. Here's a guy a couple days ago. He stopped at a gas station. He was pumping up, filling up his boat when a reporter stopped and asked him what he was doing. Here's that.
You guys just jumping in to help out?
Yes, sir.
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Where are you coming from?
Texas City.
Texas City?
Yes, sir.
What are you going to do?
I'll go try to save some lives.
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
It's horrible, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to try to save some lives. And that's what's going on in Texas right now. That's exactly what's going on in Texas right now. The pendulum is swinging back. And again, like we said, when you are faced with undeniable facts, you're going to have to eventually tell the truth. And that's what the mainstream media is going to have to start doing here very, very soon. They're going to have to start getting off of what the first lady was wearing when she was walking to Marine One out of the White House, wearing high heel shoes. They're going to have to stop looking at that, and they're going to have to start looking at the actual American spirit that is going on out there. The fact that African Americans are saving white people. White people are saving African Americans. The deplorables. Have you ever noticed that it's the deplorables that seem to show up to help when things get tough? How many times have you seen anybody from, where's the, go to the Black Lives, I don't even know if they have a page, Black Lives Matter. Go and see if there's a banner on there saying how you can help the victims of Texas. Go look at an Antifa page and see if there is a banner on there where you can donate to help out the people of Texas. Go see if it's on there, because it's not. Where are the plans from the Antifa movement to go into Houston and start helping people there? Where are those plans? No. It's the deplorables, the irredeemables. Remember that? That's what we were called. It's the people who cling to their guns and their religion that are gassing up their boats, and they are showing up to help the people out in Texas. We saw the Cajun Navy from Louisiana. They had a caravan going into Houston just to put their boats in the water and to start rescuing people out of their homes. And when they got there, what happened? What happened? We gave you this story yesterday. They were shot at by people who were trying to steal their boats. So they had to stand down for a little while. Those are the deplorables that nobody has talked about. But I think the tide is turning. I think the pendulum is swinging back, and people are starting to realize what the average American really is all about. And it's all about unity, and it's all about coming together, and it's all about loving one another, no matter what the mainstream media tries to put in front of you and how they try to distract you with the First Lady's high heels. That's the big story. Really? Let's talk about these National Guardsmen that are in there. Let's talk about these law enforcement. Let's talk about these first responders who are actually doing something to help in this country instead of continually trying to divide us.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
I'll tell you, one of the most fun things we do all year is when we have our sweet night with the River Dogs. We head out to Joe Riley Stadium and we enjoy the game. Yep, right there with the River Dogs in one of those beautiful luxury suites, and we're going to be doing it again. How about this? I got two tickets to join TMA in the luxury suite there with the Charleston River Dogs. It's a playoff game. Dun-da-da-da. That's
the
coming up.
The first one.
That's awesome. It's coming up Wednesday, September the 6th, and it's brought to you by the Law Office of Robert W. Trey Harrell III. We appreciate his support in this. And if you would like to win this, you pick up that phone and give us a call, 556-1250. That's 556-1250. We'll take caller number 7, and you're going to win these tickets to the playoff game. Oh, isn't that good to say? Now, I was saying this, I was talking with Nate from the River Dogs, and I would start to say the word playoff, and they were like, "But yeah, don't say it. Don't say that word." They're really superstitious out there. All of those baseball players are really superstitious. So they were like, "Don't say the word playoff." Well, the playoffs are here. Let's go to the phones right now and say, hey, good morning. Who is this?
This is Nicole.
Nicole, how are you?
Doing well.
Nicole, congratulations. You're caller number 7. You are going to be joining us in the suite there with the River Dogs.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Can you believe they're in the playoffs?
No.
You can't? Well, they really did really well after the All-Star break, and they are now in the playoffs. So, Nicole, congratulations. Going to put you on hold, and John Quincy is going to get some information from you. We've also got more tickets to Sweet Night with the River Dogs coming up right around 9:25 this morning. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Also this morning, North Charleston Pops, Bravo Broadway. We're going to be giving away those tickets coming up at 8:22. We'll also be talking with Dr. Herb London this morning. He's a foreign policy expert about exactly what's going on with North Korea. Now Kim Jong-un is saying that he is, he's unpromising. I guess you can unpromise these days. He's unpromising. He's changing his stance on whether or not he's going to send those missiles over off the coast of Guam. So it's going to be interesting to see what he's he is testing missiles left and right in North Korea. And I think he's somebody that we really, really need to worry about. I tell you, I don't even know what the heck's going on in this guy's head.
And now, a minute with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un.
Hello, America, stupid people, especially you stupid country music fans. Kim Jong-un, you scared? You and your stupid country singer. The music terrible. Our music much better. Wind chimes. Put outside a home. Wind blows. Go to number 1. Are you scared of me? You see my army? It's big. Like my bomb. I have joke for you. Knock, knock. Who there? Boom! Ha! It's me! With bomb blowing up in your face! You scared? You stupid country music fan! What, you have pet cow? You chewing tobacco? You know what I chew? Big Mac! Peace Corps doing hateful speech! Must go now! Have to put batteries in nuclear reactor! Hashtag I hate you!
That was a minute with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un.
There you go. A minute with Kim Jong-un this morning.
WTMA.
Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
News this morning that the U.S. Missile Defense Agency and the Navy successfully conducted a missile defense test off the coast of Hawaii. The Missile Defense Agency said in a statement this morning, the test, which was scheduled well in advance, was done from the USS John Paul Jones and came a day after North Korea fired a ballistic missile over Japan. The test, which used a standard missile, 6 guided missiles, intercepted a medium-range ballistic missile target. Now, North Korea said that its missile launch was to counter U.S. and South Korean military drills and was a first step in military action in the Pacific to contain the U.S. territory of Guam. The launch was condemned by the United Nations as an outrageous act. That was the launch of the missile over Japan by North Korea. So the Missile Defense Agency said that the test gives the naval component of the missile defense system higher ability to intercept ballistic missiles in their terminal phase. I'm thinking we are getting really ready to shoot down one of these missiles that North Korea launches. If this wasn't a a message to North Korea. I don't know what was. Now, Governor Nikki Haley, United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley has said enough is enough with North Korea. We're getting sick and tired of those people. So more on this coming up. Also, Governor Henry McMaster is asking for a halt in immigration here in South Carolina. We'll tell you about that right after we talk to Ryan west of the Ashley. Ryan, how are you, buddy?
Fine, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
What I called about was an outrageous report this morning that SCENG is demanding that we pay the remainder of the $5.4 billion to two reactors, and we've had nine pay raises. And what is really outrageous is the report states that they put the greatest lobbying effort ever on our state legislatures and contributed more in campaign funds than ever.
Mm-hmm.
A freshman senator got $1,750 from SCENG, which he refused to take and donated it to people who couldn't afford to pay their electric bills.
Right.
There is tremendous fraud. The regulatory agency did not oversee this, report any red flags. They didn't follow procedures that normally would be followed, and they want us to pay years in the future.
Yeah, about 60 years.
Yes. And so if people want to get upset about something, this is a good issue to take a look at.
Oh, absolutely. And Ryan, I mentioned it yesterday, how many times they increased that budget for those two nuclear reactors here in South Carolina. They were always coming, well, we need another $300 million. Well, we need another $500 million. And finally, the last one, I think they needed almost $800 million in an increase on this budget. Meanwhile, they kept pushing this thing back and back and back, the deadline. And then we hear they show up and they only had 40% of the blueprints ready for construction. This thing just stinks from the get-go.
It's only the tip of the iceberg. Only one person who has resigned so far with a big, fat pension. But the regulatory people all should be fired that oversaw this project.
You know what? But that's it. I don't think there was any oversight.
There was no
oversight. I really don't. I mean, they had workers showing up. They were trying to tighten some bolts out there, and they couldn't do that because of the shoddy workmanship that was done. And it's just, this thing has been a debacle from the get-go. So why didn't we know more about this sooner?
Does SCENG operate with a profit?
Oh, absolutely. They're always talking about how much money they make.
Well, you know, the legislature passed this law, I believe in 2007, that we were to pay this $5 billion. Why can't they pay out of their profit the money back and cease our increases for these next few years?
Two words, stockholders. The stockholders would absolutely revolt. And remember, I mean, those are the people that actually own the company, the people that have bought shares into it. They would scream about this. Now, I don't know if you remember, but as soon as they announced that they were halting this program, stock shares had shot through the roof.
I remember. So if you want to really get upset over an issue, there's so many issues today. Right here in South Carolina is one of the most shameful things that I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad out there, and it's a shame that we're going to have to pay for it. I hope we don't have to pay for it. Ryan, I appreciate you calling in. We had a caller yesterday that said that we may have some recourse in this thing, because if this was just shoddy workmanship, if this was just, you know, a design flaw in this thing, then we could possibly, I think we're going to go to court over this. I hope they do. I hope somebody up in Columbia decides we're going to take this to court and make sure that the people don't have to pay for this thing that was doomed from the get-go. And you want to say this was the thing was doomed from the blueprints? No, there weren't even half the blueprints ready for construction of these two nuclear sites. They didn't even know what the final thing was going to look like. It's unbelievable. And then they want us to continue paying for that? No. You're right. There needs to be some kind of revolt going on, because that is just unbelievable. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Let's go to Paul in Somerville. Paul, how are you this morning?
Pretty good. I had a question for you, or anybody else out there.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the few things about South Carolina that upsets me. In almost every other way, is a cut above where I'm from originally. But this whole thing with SDG. Now, here's the thing. I would love to put up solar panels, and I know there's tons of companies out there, but I live in an HOA where they're like, oh, there's solar
metering.
It's like, are you kidding me? See, this is what gets me is, instead of having this big boondoggle project that never goes anywhere and finally falls on its face, how about we, the people, get to be, like, you know, to be in charge of our own energy? And the thing is, I'm wondering, I had heard something like they were trying to pass some legislation that would overrule these HOAs, being able to say what you could put on your own roof. I mean, come on. This is like 2017.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you, the best way to do that, Paul, is to run for the board on the HOA.
Well, that's going to be happening next time, maybe. I'll tell you what.
I know. I mean, the HOAs, and I used to manage homeowners associations, so I know what I'm talking about. Yeah, definitely get in there and run for office. Yeah, I mean, that's the best way to make changes.
Is there anything that's pending in the assembly right now that might be able to overrule some of this? Because some of these rules are just arbitrary, and they're from like 35 years ago. It's like, guys, you literally don't know what you're talking about. And I had heard something that they were going to pass a law saying an HOA cannot ban you from putting solar panels on your roof.
I haven't seen anything about that. I'll certainly look into that. But right now, once you sign, you know, your closing documents and you go into that HOA, then that's, you know, you agree to abide by those rules. And if you don't like the rules, you need to gather up your neighbors, have a special meeting, and you can actually and read your covenants. That's the best thing you can do. Go online. If you don't have them a copy, go online, read your covenants. If they're not online, which they should be, contact your HOA management company and get a copy of those covenants, because I think about 60%, if you have 60% of the eligible homeowners vote, you can actually change the rules of the HOA.
Yep.
So
okay,
that might be a way to do it. I appreciate it. Let's go to John. He's over in Mount Pleasant. John, how are you?
Good morning, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
I am weighing in on the SDE&G nuclear debacle.
Yeah.
I came from my mailbox about 3 days ago, and among what looked like junk mail was a very generic, innocuous, white, folded envelope.
Yes, I got the same thing.
Well, it didn't even have the logo of SDE&G or anything on it. I about threw it away, but it caught my eye, and I sat down and read it with my magnifying glass. And guess what? In that language, in all that gobbledygook, they're asking the public or the customers to agree that there was no mismanagement or no incompetence with regard to this project. Those are key legal words that absolve them of liability. I think that needs to be brought to the light of day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, I don't know how they could defend themselves when they didn't even have, you know, we're hearing that only 40% of the blueprints were ready at construction. I mean, I think this thing's been mismanaged from the get-go. John, I appreciate you calling in. John, did you have something to say? You are leaning into the microphone as if you wanted to weigh in on something there.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I was going to mention that with my HOA, supposedly solar panels are illegal.
Yeah.
Or prohibited.
Right.
We took a walk through the neighborhood the other day, and we found five or six houses that had solar panels.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
what's the HOA going to make you do?
Well, they can actually do a lot. They can fine you. They can put a lien on your home for stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then they do have, it's called the power of self-help, I believe is the legal term for it, where they can actually assess you fines if you have a solar panel on your house and it's, you know, illegal according to the HOA. Then they can fine you every single time they come by and do an inspection. And each time, so here's how it works. You get a letter saying, hey, you got to remove your solar panels. Yeah, that'll happen. Well, I tell you what, running out of time right now. We'll be back with Congressman Mark Sanford in just a minute.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 8:09, 9 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Coming up around 8:25-ish, maybe a little before that, we're going to be giving away to giving away tickets to the North Charleston Pops Bravo Broadway. You don't want to miss out on that. It's going to be a fantastic show. Also, Sweet Night with the River Dogs. We'll be giving away more passes of that coming up around 9:25 this morning. We'll have Dr. Herb London on with us at 9:35 to talk about what's going on with North Korea. Now, the other day, speaking to a group of law enforcement officials in Nashville, Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced that they were rolling back this 1033, which would limit or would stop the acquisition of local law enforcement agencies to get surplus military equipment for their local police forces. Congressman Mark Sanford spoke out against rolling this back. He's on with us right now. Good morning, Mr. Sanford. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning to you.
Tell us a little bit about why you posted this the other day saying that it was not a good idea to roll back 1033.
I think for a variety of different reasons. I think that, you know, well beyond what the Obama administration had, you know, put up in terms of their reasoning, I think that fundamentally this is a taxpayer issue. Mm. And so we have a federal government that's $20 trillion in the hole with the, you know, contingent liabilities. It's actually much deeper in the hole than that. Therefore, you shouldn't be in the business of giving away anything. And so it from a just a raw accounting standpoint, it overstates the cost of federal government. It understates the cost of local government. But at a practical level, it means this. If you were to walk through Walmart and they said you can get anything you want, as much as you can carry out, you'd be grabbing a bunch of stuff, whether you needed it or not, just because it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And so what this induces local enforcement, law enforcement agencies to do at times is grab stuff they don't need just because it's, quote, free. But it's not free. You and I have paid for it as taxpayers. And so, you know, literally, when I was governor of South Carolina, I remember going to a small county in South Carolina, and I was trying to meet with the sheriff, but I was told he was out taking helicopter lessons. And long story short, it turns out this small county had pulled down seven, again, jet-powered, these are Bell Jet Rangers, jet-powered helicopters, just because, quote, they were free, and this particular individual liked helicopters. I think we need to be careful about programs that induce those kinds of results and therefore oppose the program. And it actually put up a bill that wouldn't keep stuff from going to local law enforcement. Local law enforcement could still get it, but they'd have to bid at it. It'd be an auction.
Right, but wouldn't that, doing this auction-type system that you propose, wouldn't that kind of prohibit some of the smaller counties from getting some of this stuff, some of the poorer counties like Allendale and other counties in South Carolina?
But that makes my point. I mean, Allendale is a relatively poor county.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I mean, we have a South Carolina law enforcement division that is there to step in and help small counties if they need help. Not every county needs to duplicate the capacity that we have at the South Carolina law enforcement division, both with the SWAT team, helicopters, and a variety of other things that they can come into a small county and help with. And so, I guess we could duplicate it and have all this stuff in every county, but that's probably from a taxpayer standpoint not the best thing to do.
But I think one of the things that people are more worried about, and it, you know, you can argue the points of 1033, but it just seems like right now, and Congressman, I'll be honest with you, we've had people call into this show and say they are not listening to this interview right now, simply because you are on, because people are not feeling like there's enough support for the president and this administration and their decisions out there and their decision making. Our representatives aren't supporting the president and this administration, and they're getting a little tired of it. I mean, I don't think that this was a huge issue for a whole lot of people on face value, but the fact that you come out and others come out speaking out against the president and the decisions that are made by this administration is really becoming extremely frustrating to a lot of voters here in South Carolina. How do you feel about that? I mean, we had people literally calling in saying, I'm not listening to Mark Sanford this morning when you have him on. I mean, does that say something to you?
Well, it says you can't please all the people all the time. And I've done that for a long time. So, you know, what's interesting right now is that I have a Democrat that's going to run against me in the general election.
Mm-hmm.
because he says I support President Trump too much. He says I support him 90% of the time. You know, I love my brothers and my sister, but I don't agree with them all the time. And so everybody ought to be judged in life based on the promises they make. And the promise I made was to watch out for the taxpayers in the first congressional district and taxpayers across this country. I think that they are the forgotten class, if you want to call it that. And so what that means is, you know, I guess it would be more appropriate to say nothing, but this is something that I had real-world experience in. I was a former governor. I dealt with local law enforcement agency. I saw both some of the merits of this program and some of the demerits of this program. And, you know, I could say nothing, but I don't think I'd be watching out for the taxpayers in that process. I mean, similarly, I didn't want to disagree with the president on the budget, but you know, Mick Mulvaney and I were in Congress together before. He's now OMB director. And they drew out some assumptions that, you know, I thought from a mathematics standpoint ultimately did not make sense. I mean, how many folks would go out there and say, you know what, we're now in the third longest economic expansion in American history. The average economic expansion in American history is 52 months. We're at 96 months. It's been anemic, but it has had duration. But you know what? We're going to base our family budget, in this case, the big family, the American budget, on the presumption that we won't have a recession in the next 10 years, even though we're in the third longest economic expansion in American history. I don't know many people that take that bet. And so my point to Mick was, look, I want to find any way I can to agree with the administration, but these numbers don't add up. And if they don't add up, all of us are left with a $3 trillion. That's not billion, that's not million, but $3 trillion hole that we got to cover. And so I think that what is important in public policy and the debate that's taking place in Washington, that we consistently be advocates for conservatism in the way that money is spent. And I think that, again, debt deficit government spending aren't talked about in Washington. You know, you could paper over this, and sure, it'll help some law enforcement agencies, and I get that. But, again, we're not having a conversation about taxpayer interest in D.C. to the degree that I think we ought to. And at times that'll put me in opposition to the president or other members of Congress. And I think that I ought to speak up accordingly. And again, the bigger context is I'm agreeing with the president 90% of the time. I got a Democrat that's running against me because he says I'm agreeing with the president all too much. So you can't make everybody happy all the time. And therefore, I think you got to shoot it straight based on the promises that you made. My promise was I'd try and watch out for taxpayers at home.
You know, but we have, as conservatives and Republicans, we got our teeth kicked in for 8 years by the Obama administration. And it seemed like the folks in the House and in the Senate were completely willing to just kind of roll over and let anything that the Obama administration want to put through. They completely let everything go through. The Obamacare has been a debacle. Many other programs under Obama have been absolutely against what the average conservative Republican voter wanted in this country. And now we've got a brash new quarterback who's got some swagger. He's got some confidence. Wait a minute. And this is the guy that the American people want to be supported. And I don't think we're seeing a whole lot of that coming out of Washington. Our quarterback is being tackled by his own team lately. And I don't remember all of these people standing up against Obama.
Well, let me say this. I mean, again, I wasn't there at the time, but in fairness to other folks that were, the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, passed with not a single Republican vote. It passed on a pure party line vote. I mean, again, we can all get frustrated with the process. I get that. And I totally get the way in which the new quarterback was hired because people were so frustrated. They just want to get something done. They want not more talk. They want absolutely something done. I totally get it. I mean, I've had done over 40 public town halls, events, just in this year alone. I spent a lot of time talking to people. Those are just the town hall types, and I spent a lot of time doing neighborhood office hours and whatnot. Just actually out visiting with folks on Sunday. I was up in Monk's Corner. You know, they were having a barbecue, you know, sort of lunch thing for the lady in charge of Howard's. I don't know if you know Howard's, Monk's Corner, But regular folks, and what they're telling me is exactly what you're saying, Charlie, which is people just want a change. They're sick of status quo, and they're, you know, on the healthcare thing, they were sick of people voting for years, you know, to repeal it. Then when push comes to shove, when, you know, basically the American public is given the keys to the car, here, we give you the House, Senate, and the White House, they want to see it done. I mean, I totally get it. But in fairness, that's a separate discussion. And again, look at my votes on that front from occasionally saying, wait a minute, or, you know, we, for instance, I pushed really hard against this border adjustment tax. It was $1 trillion, not again, million or billion, but $1 trillion tax on the American public, and fundamentally a value-added tax plus an income tax equals more taxes for the American public. And so myself and others sort of dug in our heels on this one, and ultimately, again, the group prevailed, and we've prevented $1 trillion. I mean, sure, we could just, again, all hold hands and say it's all good, but not every piece of policy that comes from any piece of government is going to be all good. And I think what we've got to consistently push for is the conservative mix in the equation. And to the larger point, not only do we want to get something done, but we want to do something that limits the federal government, limits the growth of government, limits the growth of the debt, the deficit. And again, too often that is not what's done in Washington, D.C.
Well, I think what the vast majority of people that listen to this show and call into this show, they want from you and from other representatives in Congress that are here to represent the people of your district and all over the United States. They want, like you said, they want action. And I don't think we're seeing a whole lot of action out there. I don't think we're seeing
in fairness, actions come sort of one issue at a time. And so this issue came along, and you got to pick a side. And that's going to offend some people. It's going to make other people happy. I've never been a person in the mushy middle. I mean, I picked a side whether people liked it or didn't like it. What would you want me to do if you have a program that is a giveaway program from the federal government to law enforcement agencies? Again, good folks working.
All right, but let me ask you this. What happens to this surplus military equipment if somebody doesn't come along and take it? Aren't taxpayer dollars being spent to...
auctioned.
Huh?
It's auctioned.
To who?
We have to get money back in.
Who is it auctioned off to, if not local law enforcement?
If it's super high tech, it's destroyed because we can't sell it to... But much of it, the preponderance of it, is actually auctioned. It's just local law enforcement gets first dibs, and they can have a shot at it for free. And if not, it goes into the DOD surplus line of disposal, which is an open auction system. And all I propose here is to say, let's extend that here to this as well, because the federal government really can't afford to be in the business of giving stuff away.
It just seems to me like do you trust Jeff Sessions and the president to make these decisions?
I completely trust Jeff Sessions. I know him. He's a spectacular human being. Trust the president. But this isn't about trust. Again, I trust my brothers and my sister. It doesn't mean I agree with them 100% of the time, but I trust them, I love them, I care about them. But again, trust is a different issue from, again, are we to be advocates for the conservative cause and occasionally disagree? And so it's not a big deal, but again, I can either be completely compliant, look the other way, pretend I didn't see that sheriff in a small county in South Carolina stacking up 7 jet-powered helicopters because he could get them for free. Or I could say, well, you know, I actually have an experience on this. I was a former governor. There are only 2 former governors in the House of Representatives. I have a real-world experience that taught me a little bit about this. And therefore, hey, here's an additional perspective. And so I've offered a bill, and it's just a way of saying, hey, there's a different way of skinning the cat toward the objective that we all care about, which is watching out for the taxpayer, at the same time having, a protected homeland.
All right, I know we're running out of time, Congressman. Tony is on James Island. Can we take a question from him?
Sure.
Yes, Tony, sir. You're on with Congressman Mark Sanford. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Sanford, I think you need to go back and listen to yourself on this interview. I mean, there's so many things I could say, but your biggest point that you've brought home to me is that saving the U.S. taxpayer a couple of bucks is more important than providing law enforcement with the tools that they need take care of, whether it be Antifa or terrorist attacks or anything like that. You keep harping on dollars. I know we all pay a lot of tax money, but, and then you went to the point where, well, the stuff will be destroyed or auctioned off. Well, that doesn't help the taxpayer. And who who's going to come and buy tanks and Humvees and things like that? It's not going to be local law enforcement, which could benefit them. Who do you think is going to buy equipment from the military that can destroy?
Tony, I appreciate you calling in. How do you respond to Tony, Congressman?
But with what I earlier said, again, you can't please everybody. Tony takes a different viewpoint. Give the stuff to local law enforcement. I hear him. Again, what I have proposed is not preventing stuff from going to local law enforcement. All I've said is that when you're $20 trillion in the hole, you better be trying to maximize, again, what you get in rather than just giving it away. And therefore, if you can have an open auction system so that different local law enforcement, you know, bid and say, I want that Humvee. No, I want that Humvee. I want that helicopter. They can bid. And there is some, again, level of compensation back to the federal government, back to the U.S. taxpayers, back to me and you. For the money that we spent, we'll still get pennies on the dollar. You're not going to get pulled back.
Yeah, but I mean, taxpayers are still going to be paying for it no matter what. Congressman, I know we're out of time. I appreciate you calling in and hope to talk to you soon.
Look forward to it.
Thank you very much. Congressman Mark Sanford on with us.
To learn more.
1250 WTMA. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 8:39, 21 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. We got lots of folks wanting to weigh in on the Mark Sanford call this morning. Wayne is out in Somerville. Wayne, how are you?
I'm fine. I want to give some clarity to your point of view, and thank you for confronting Senator Mark Sanford.
Yeah.
Mark Sanford, Lindsey Graham, Jim DeMint.
Right.
Jim DeMint retires to run the Heritage Foundation. He supports Trump, so they dump him on the Heritage Foundation, the corporate people. Lindsey Graham and Mark Sanford have obligations to corporations. And any time they need a spokesman, he speaks up and Lindsey speaks up. Now, Lindsey and Mark have a platform. Oh, I'm always worried about money, blah, blah, blah. I'm always worried about Christianity for Graham, blah, blah, blah. But people are tired of saying negative things about the president.
Exactly. And that was the point I was trying to make to him. I mean, here we've got this new quarterback. He's brash. He's bold. He's got swagger. He's got the confidence that we have wanted in Washington for the past decade. And they're tackling their own quarterback.
Well, this is what's going on, Charlie. Talk about Stana and the power plant. Lindsey Graham and Mark Sanford are in a better position to help the consumers in South Carolina because of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, which oversees the construction of the site. It's really not a state problem. But you see, Mark, He was forgiven. You know, he lied. He walked away from his job. We gave him the job back. So he introduces a bill about Trump's taxes.
Right.
If you can't say something positive about the team captain, keep your mouth shut. And Lindsey is just as bad about it. Locally, they try to do stuff, but we're tired of the so-called Republicans taking every corporate opportunity to say something negative about Donald Trump.
Yeah, and you're right. You're right, Wayne. They seem to take every opportunity to make a negative comment about. I even think this bill that Mark Sanford proposed about having the president elect or whatever disclose their tax returns. I think that was absolutely a shot against Trump.
It
absolutely.
Was. And the corporate sponsors, when you look at the money they're giving, and I can't think of the Democrat from Clarendon County. He gets the same amount of money. Mm-hmm. And we all are smart enough now to realize we have a corporate government, a federal government, and a state government. And the people of South Carolina wanted different leadership at the federal level, and they voted for Donald Trump.
Exactly right.
And I'm tired of those guys taking cheap shots from their, you know, high-dollar seats in the stadium, and I'm watching the game from the parking lot.
Right.
So if you don't have something good to say, keep your mouth shut.
There you go. Wayne, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you, buddy. And I mean, here's the thing. I mean, the president, no law says anybody's got to release their tax returns to run for president. So what you are actually trying to do is you're trying to make someone prove their innocence, that everything that they have done is above board. I mean, I thought we had, I thought it was the other way around in this country. Chris is in Somerville. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Charlie. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Listen, if Mark Sanford's interview that you did, and like Wayne just said, good job on that, by the way.
Thank you.
If he doesn't show how bad we need to drain the friggin' swamp, I don't know what will. I mean, he is a politician. Just that's all he is. But I do have a question.
Yeah.
If he said that it was a waste of tax dollars to give to local law enforcement surplus military equipment, then why are we spending so much to have surplus military equipment? I mean,
right.
We've got so many helicopters that we can give them away. Shouldn't you go in there?
Start looking at some of the military spending we're doing?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we do upgrades and all of that, and this is because of, you know, some pork barrel spending in Washington. But let me ask you something. If our taxpayer dollars have already paid for it, you want more taxpayer dollars to come in and bid on this surplus equipment?
Yeah.
So you're double dipping into the taxpayer's pocket to get this equipment that a lot of local law enforcement needs.
His argument doesn't make sense. It doesn't hold water. And, you know, I just hope that people will vote for a conservative but replace the Republicans that we have.
Chris,
it's time to go.
Like you and so many other people, they are absolutely sick and tired of the Republicans out there. You know, some people said, you know, this is the end of the Republican Party. Well, you know what? Maybe that's a good thing. Anthony is in Hanahan. Anthony, how are you?
How you doing, Charlie? I'm probably going to get beat up verbally about this, but I agree with Stanford, but not for the reasons why he stayed.
All right, so what do you say?
The 1878 Posse Comitatus Act, which means the military will not do local law enforcement on United States soil.
Right.
Well, I believe what they're doing to get around that is we don't have the military no more, but you take the local police officers and you basically supply them with military equipment where they become a military within themselves.
Some sort of a paramilitary. Now, Anthony, first of all, you're not going to get verbally beat up. You are absolutely safe here. there's no problem here. But that being, you know, and I understand the issue that you're talking about. I mean, maybe we don't need Allendale County with a jet-powered helicopter. I mean, I certainly...
Amaraps, tanks.
Right, yeah.
I've been hearing this morning. It's just it's a little crazy. Now, I mean, the only situation that I've seen in my entire lifetime, you know, would be probably the Houston shooter, where they absolutely would need, you know, a bulletproof MRAP to go in and take that guy out.
Right.
You know, I haven't really seen, I mean, 9/11, you know, MRAPs, tanks, none of that would have helped.
You might go back and remember, Anthony, there were two guys in Los Angeles. It may have been Oakland. It was out in California years ago. These guys were armed with submachine guns, and they wore body armor.
You talk about body armor, they had full body armor.
Right.
Everything. I know, I'm sure what you're talking about, that bank robber. Those were, I think, out of the Czech Republic, those guys were. Now, that situation, I completely understand.
Yeah. I mean, the police there, you know what the police had to do in that case, Anthony?
They had to go to
gun shops.
Yeah, and to get weapons to face those guys. Those guys had fully automatic AK
systems. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, I understand, but with situations like that, but where do you stop with it? You know what I mean?
Need a tank?
Yeah.
Do we need a tank in Dorchester County?
Peace officers. No, you don't. I don't think you need a tank in Dorchester. I mean, but I just think that they're literally arming in an hour our police officers. And see, our police officers used to be peace officers, right?
Yeah.
That's what they were for a long, long time. And I just think that with the federal system, the way that they're training these police officers, shoot first, ask questions later, you know, you need to go home at the end of the night, not everybody. And I agree with a lot of that. But I do believe that they're pushing this federal training on these police officers to where they're shooting first before they really get a hold of the situation. You know,
I tell you what, though, Anthony, those guys that put on that badge every day, they are against a new, more violent breed of criminal out there, and it's absolutely horrendous what they're facing every day. Let's go to Gary and Gary. He's in Somerville. Gary, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I think it was about 4 years ago, the Obama administration gave maybe 12 F-16s to some Middle Eastern country. Mm-hmm. They gave them away. Mark Sanford, I don't think, complained then. My point is, why aren't we selling this stuff to Egypt and to Saudi Arabia and whoever that we arm anyway? Why don't we sell them the stuff we don't need?
Well, I think what he was saying is they local law enforcement gets the first shot at it, and then they open it up for bidding. I'm not really sure how that whole process works. Gary, I appreciate you calling in this morning. We got to take a quick break.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 8:53, 7 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Robert is on with us from Mount Pleasant. Good morning, Robert. How are you?
I would just as soon vote for Joe Scarborough as Mark Sanford.
That's saying something, Robert. That's saying something. Now, Scarborough said, well, he left the Democrat Party, right? He's no longer a Republican, rather.
Well, I don't know. He's kind of hooked up with the west side of Manhattan and Mika and all of that. And he's got the big hate for Trump on. And, you know, he and Sanford were buddies. They were guys that went in there to the House together the first time Sanford was up there. And you know, I voted for Mark every time he's ever run for anything, but he's lost me now. And, you know, he doesn't want to listen to that. All he wants is us to listen to him. He knows better than we know. And I'll let you go, but I love your show, Charlie. And by the way, I wasn't one of those that said I wasn't going to listen to him, but I cut him off 5 minutes in.
Yeah, he. And again, Robert, I appreciate you calling in. But that's the thing. If you are not listening to the people, I don't know. You know, I thought you were supposed to represent the folks here in the district. So, all right. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. I am so late for this. I got to get this done right now. We have got some tickets to give away to the North Charleston Pops and their performance of Bravo Broadway. This is a fantastic show. Of course, when the North Charleston Pops gets together, it is always a great, great night. So I'll tell you what, I will, let's see here, trying to find this. Here we go. I got two tickets to see the North Charleston Pops in Bravo Broadway. It's coming to the North Charleston Performing Arts Center on September the 9th. Can you believe September is already here? Oh, my gosh. I'll take caller number 7 right now at 556-1250. That's 556-1250. An exciting night of wildly popular evening of Broadway favorites performed by three stars from the Broadway stage. Bravo Broadway, unique evening of familiar Broadway songs, both classic and contemporary, performed with the North Charleston Pops. And we're going to hear stuff like Andrew Lloyd Webber and all of that. We're going to one here, John. Which one? We're going to, oh, two. Okay. Hey, good morning. Who is this?
Hi, this is Jerry.
Jerry, how are you, buddy?
Doing great, thank you.
I am glad to hear that. Jerry, congratulations. You just picked yourself up two tickets to the North Charleston Pops in Bravo Broadway. How about that?
That is fantastic.
Well, you enjoy that. I know you're going to have a fantastic evening. We appreciate you calling in this morning. Congratulations. We'll be having more tickets of those to give away coming up tomorrow morning. Also this morning, we're going to be giving away more tickets to Sweet Night with the River Dogs. Man, you don't want to miss out on this. If you've ever been to one of our Sweet Nights, you know that it is a lot of fun up there in one of the great, great suites there at the Joe. It is the playoff game coming up Wednesday, September the 6th, and we're going to be giving those away coming up in just a little bit. So we still got a lot more to do on the show today, a lot more. I mean, we haven't even really dug into this huge controversy that happened yesterday with the First Lady of the United States, Melania Trump, where she had the audacity, the unmitigated gall, to walk out of the White House wearing high heels. Oh, I know. I feel the same way you do. I almost couldn't eat my breakfast this morning because I was so upset that the First Lady of the United States walked out of the White House wearing high heel shoes to go to Texas and survey the damage there. Now, understand, she didn't land in Texas wearing high heel shoes. She was wearing sneakers when she got off of Air Force One. But, oh, that's okay. The left-wing media, they want to do everything they can to try to get your mind off of what is actually happening in Texas. And that is the American people, the average American, you and me, and folks just like us, are coming together to help each other out. Because they can't show that. See, they cannot show that. Because if they show average Americans helping each other and coming to each other's aid and coming to each other's rescue, why, there's nothing to divide us anymore, is there? No, so they have to come up with some fake news story, some fake outrage, where what do they call it? Virtue signaling. Well, I would have never left the White House in a pair of high heel shoes, and some of the staff members were wearing pumps while they were there. They can't show what's actually going on, because if they show the Americans pulling together and the true American spirit, they've lost their argument. They have lost their argument. They've lost their talking points. That America is more divided than ever. Let me tell you something. Texas is going to show everybody in this country. This is a horrible situation that's going on down there in Houston with Hurricane Harvey. Horrible. But it's got the potential for so much good to come into this country. With every cloud, there's a silver lining. And we have got the potential now to see what the true American spirit is like, what the average American, you and me, can do when we pull together. And folks, I'm telling you, I told you earlier this morning, I think the pendulum is swinging back the other way. I believe the tide is turning. Because now, not only has Nancy Pelosi had to admit that the Antifa movement is a violent organization. Not only did Joe Scarborough yesterday basically call the Antifa movement a bunch of fascists, but now the mayor of Berkeley, California, is saying that Antifa movement should be considered a street gang. It's changing, y'all. It's changing.